Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
In a city rich with museums and cultural institutions, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum is one of Boston's jewels. It's a 15th century Venetian-style palace that houses works by Titian, Michelangelo, Botticelli, Rembrandt, among other artists. Now, the renovation of any historic space can be a tricky endeavor, but the current expansion of this particular museum is especially complicated. That's because before her death, Isabella Stewart Gardner requested that nothing be changed inside the 107-year-old building. WBUR's Andrea Shea went to see how the renovation is going and filed this report.
It's really two projects, the restoration of Isabella Stewart Gardner's historic Venetian palace and the construction of a new, strikingly different addition just 50 feet away. But a certain yin and yang is at play here between the old and the contemporary, according to project director James LeBeck.
Even the construction workers are going back and forth between the two buildings. They're working on both spaces. It's all one project.
Building the new glass and steel structure is the expansion part of the equation. Restoring galleries and reclaiming space inside the old museum is the other. Right now, in the tapestry room, extremely delicate acts of preservation are underway. A conservation team wielding scalpels and paintbrushes gently cleans a 15th century French fireplace installed when Gardner lived in the palace. Bright spotlights illuminate layers of caked-on soot and grime. Senior objects curator Valentine Talon leans down and admits the team has never examined the ornate fireplace this closely.
When we first started looking at it, because it's so dark here and you can't get that close to it, none of us were aware that it was painted, so that was our first happy discovery. And just the nature of the carving, the figures are very sweet, and it's a beautiful composition.
Fact is, the ornate medieval carvings have been hidden from view for decades behind a good-sized stage. That stage was taken out of the tapestry room in December.
It's been three generations of people that have never seen it like this because it's been since 1925 that it's been, you know, set up as a venue for gatherings.
That's museum director Anne Hawley. She says after Gardner died in 1924, the tapestry room became an intense center of cultural activity and has been ever since. Last year, 50 concerts took place in this room.
So it was always set up with chairs, and you could never really see things all that well. And we are offloading all these concerts and lectures and events into the new addition, and this becomes restored to the great tapestry hall that it was.
It will take more than 6 months to get the 4,000-square-foot hall back to exactly the way it was in Gardner's day. Everything is being cleaned and restored. Furniture that was pushed to the side will be reset based on old photographs taken while Gardner was alive. But if nothing is supposed to be modified in the palace, how did the tapestry room become a venue with a stage in the first place? Anne Hawley says museum trustees petitioned state courts after Gardner died some 80 years ago, asking to continue hosting concerts here, as she did in life, but on a larger scale.
And the argument to the court was in order to be a public museum, now that she was no longer living here, they needed this space, and so they were granted permission. That's how it happened.
Hawley, curators, conservators, and trustees made their own arguments to convince the Supreme Judicial Court and critics that it was necessary for preservation. The new building will take stress off the old structure, diverting foot traffic and general wear and tear with its cafe, shop, artist apartments, and a state-of-the-art concert hall.
It's a very intimate, three-story, 300-person performance space.
Or it will be. Right now, the new concert hall is a thick cement box. Project director James Lebeque shows me around as workers pull up temporary floorboards. From almost every space in this new building, we can see the old palace through the glass walls. Lebeque believes there's a dialogue between the two structures, but he also admits working on both, especially the palace, is a balancing act.
Having the messy parts of construction next door, the noisy, percussive parts of construction next door, you know, we drove piles and sheet piles over a year ago. All those things, we hear them and we feel them every once in a while, but we certainly monitor them very carefully for their impact on the historic building. It's careful work.
Even though it might not sound very careful right now, the new Gardner Museum is on track for opening in January 2012.
And that report from WBUR's Andrea Shea, who joins us now to talk about her story. Welcome, Andrea.
Hi, Anthony.
So one complaint which you mentioned in your story about seeing a concert in the Tapestry Room was that it lacked tiered seating, and it could be hard to actually see the performers. How are things going to be different in this new concert hall?
Well, I think the main big difference is that this new concert hall is being designed to be this ideal performance space. So it's got three levels of balconies. The seating is like a theater in the round kind of an experience. So it's like a boxing ring, I guess you could say. And they say the acoustics will be pristine. They have an acoustician, and the hall is going to have cutting-edge technology in the way it carries and holds sound. In the coming months, they're going to be installing custom design wood paneling and a host of other features meant to enhance, you know, the way everything is going to come together in there. But right now, the space is just, as I said in the story, a big cement box. Even so, it's pretty impressive, and you can see its potential.
So the space won't be ready until January of 2012. Where will concerts take place until then?
They've already started taking place at Mass Arts Posen Center, which is right behind the Gardner. The last Tapestry Room concert took place in December, and the current series is going to wrap up in May, and then it'll go on hiatus until the new performance space opens in early 2012.
Now, in your report, we heard about the meticulous renovation work going on in the Tapestry Room, which is one of the central parts of any visit to this museum. Can visitors still go there during the renovation?
Yeah, you can actually walk through, and it's a sight to behold because the whole entire Tapestry Room, which is huge, it's 4,000 square feet, because the conservation labs were disassembled in the old museum, and they still haven't built the new ones in the addition. They've basically created a makeshift conservation lab and workshop right on site. When I was there, Gianfranco Poccobene, who's the head of conservation for the museum, he was working on this 6-foot-tall painting of Archangel Michael on site. And this is a 15th-century painting, and he's working on it right there, like paces away from the fireplace. And usually that would be hidden from view for the visitors.
So it's part of the museum experience.
I guess so, and they're just rolling with it. They're all, as far as the conservation team goes, they're all just pretty excited about how things are going.
So, Andrea, how much is all this going to cost, this renovation, and has the museum raised all the money it needs?
Well, the total campaign for the project, which includes construction, restoration, preservation work, plus funds to increase the endowment to ensure everything carries on in the future, is the figure is $180 million, and they say they have $136 million so far.
So it sounds like they're well on their way. Thank you.
You're welcome, Anthony.
That's WBUR's Andrea Shea. And for a slideshow of the restoration and building going on at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, go to our website, wbur.org/Boston.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, MIT's proposal for a massive remaking of what some call Hartford on the Charles, but most of the rest of us know it as Kendall Square. That's tomorrow.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.